Jennifer and Pat, you're both very welcome to the show and thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us, Amber.
Thanks, Amber.
Delighted to have you both here. So we'll start with the basics, I think, Jennifer, first, if that's all right. So what is the EU Pay Transparency Directive and why should Irish employers care about it now?
Absolutely, Amber. So I suppose at its core, the EU Pay Transparency Directive strengthens an existing principle, which is equal pay for equal work or work of equal value, essentially. But there are far sharper tools now in place to enforce it. So what's different this time is the transparency piece. So employers must be upfront about the pay ranges in recruitment. They have to stop asking candidates in recruitment about their salary history. They must give their current employees a right to request pay information, which is linked to gender. Mm-hmm. And they also must be able to objectively justify pay differences that exist within the workplace. So Ireland is expected to miss the June 26 transposition deadline of the directive, but the government has signalled a phased approach in introducing this. But critically, the underlying EU obligation still exists and employees may be able to rely on the directive even if the Irish legislation lags behind.
Okay, very interesting. And I know Orbit has recently published an article saying pay transparency isn't the real issue for SMEs. Their pay logic is. So what does that mean?
Basically, I suppose the pay logic piece is where we are seeing Irish SMEs get caught out. So most people and businesses don't have a deliberate pay discrimination problem, but they do have fragmented pay decisions. So someone negotiated when they joined first, or another employee got a retention increase. Titles may have changed, but duties didn't, and pay evolved through pressure and timing, but maybe not structure. Mm-hmm. So individually, each decision feels reasonable, but when you look at them collectively, they often can't be explained coherently. Mm-hmm. And the directive forces employers to explain the why behind pay, not just the number. And if the logic isn't documented, consistent and bias-free, transparency exposes weaknesses very quickly.
Okay. And Jennifer, you mentioned it a few minutes ago, but there has been a lot of coverage of it as well, saying that Ireland will miss the deadline and employers won't be penalised immediately. Is that reassuring for businesses?
On a surface level, yes. But the department has signalled a pragmatic approach to enforcement, and that doesn't eliminate the risk on the employer. Okay. So there are two realities. Employees are increasingly aware of their rights, and the directive shifts the burden of proof onto the employer now. Mm-hmm. So if an employee raises an equal pay complaint, the question won't be, can you show discrimination as the employee? Mm-hmm. It will be, employer, can you prove your pay differences are objectively justified? So from a governance perspective, relying on legislative delay is very risky. Board owners are expected to exercise reasonable foresight and not wait for enforcement before acting.
Okay. And Pat, I want to bring you in now as well, because we've mentioned, I think, governance a few times. Why should boards and directors be paying attention to pay transparency?
Pay transparency, Amber, goes straight to governance fundamentals. It's part of risk management. It's decision accountability. And it also goes to the heart of the culture of the organisation. Just again, like directors or owners of organisations must ensure that decisions are made on objective grounds, that material risks are identified and managed, and that the organisation could evidence fair treatment. So again, going back to pay decisions that live only in somebody's head or in old habits or governance blind spots, it's not a good place to be. So nowadays we're seeing questions surface before legal disputes. So people, like, it affects morale, retention of staff, grievances, leadership credibility, kind of more than legal issues. They're governance failures that companies and organisations need to take charge of.
Okay. And I suppose, Pat, if a director maybe is listening in at the moment, how does this change their personal responsibilities, maybe firstly? And then secondly, is it just a HR issue or is it something directors could be held accountable for then, Pat?
It's actually much more than say, a HR issue. This should be a director-level responsibility or director-led obligation, shall we say. Directors have a duty to act with reasonable care and skill. They should identify foreseeable risks and they should ensure that appropriate systems and controls are in place. So pay transparency falls into all of these categories. So once you have the directive in place, you can't say you didn't know about it, like ignorance isn't a defence in law. So if a business cannot explain how a pay decision is made, then it becomes a governance failure. And it's not merely a HR oversight. It's an issue. It's a real issue. So again, boards should have in place, they don't actually have to have a perfect system in place by June 2026, but they should have documentation, they should be putting in place documents to cover what are they considering, what structure, what action they may or may not take. All of these things, again, fall into good governance.
That's very interesting as well. And I know you mentioned earlier as well that the issues, they often arise before any legal action. So from a governance perspective then, Pat, what are maybe some of the early warning signs that boards maybe should be watching out for?
Yeah, this is what I would call kind of the niggles, shall we say. So formal claims are always easier to deal with. They arrive, you have to deal with it. But I suppose the warning signals would be you've increased questions about why new hires are advertised at higher rates. Then you have inconsistent answers from people about pay differences, so that causes its own issue. There's retention issues, experienced staff feel left out, undervalued. Then there's grievances framed at fairness or equity concerns. So again, these are what I would call niggles, legal niggles, but then they expose deeper fractures, shall we say, within the organisation, because they go to culture and trust. And in every organisation, if you lose the trust, and if there's a culture that people don't believe in, this causes an erosion in confidence in leadership. If you work someplace that you feel that leadership don't value you, then you have other options, shall we say, in the current market. So again, strong boards or strong management should treat transparency proactively, not reactively. So again, by treating people fairly and equitably in the interests of pay, this shows that there's a strong management, there's a credibility, and there's a culture of fairness within the organisation. And that, again, is only a good thing.
Absolutely, it certainly is. And you've given good advice there in terms of what to look out for, Pat. Jennifer, I suppose if you're a typical Irish SME owner and you're listening to this, what's the most realistic way maybe to think about preparation?
I guess the most realistic way really is to think about it structurally. So it's not about announcing pay ranges tomorrow or publishing sensitive data, but it's about being able to answer three questions internally. How do we decide what a role is worth? What objective criteria drive pay and progression? And can we explain differences clearly and consistently? So many SMEs already meet the spirit of fair pay, but they just haven't documented it yet. Preparing now allows businesses to control the narrative rather than having to have it forced by employee questions or legal processes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I suppose there's been so much change as well, Jennifer, hasn't there, recently for businesses? You know, there's been a lot for them to take on. So this is another one of those things, I suppose. But is pay transparency something maybe that Irish employers should be fearful of?
I don't think fearful, but I suppose equally we all have to respect it. Pay transparency isn't designed to punish good employers, it's designed to expose poorly justified systems, essentially. So for Irish businesses, and particularly SMEs, it's very much an opportunity to do things such as clean up legacy decisions, strengthen governance, improve trust within the organisations, and future-proof their employment relationships. So the real risk isn't the transparency itself, I suppose it's waiting too long to get in under the bonnet.
Yeah, and I think we've probably spoken about this as well before, but it's always important that, I suppose, you know, people look at this and they make sure that they're ahead of it and they know what is expected, but also the likes of yourselves at Orbitus, Pat and Jennifer, you're there as well if people want to contact you. So Pat, just remind the listeners, if anyone is listening that kind of thinks, you know, this is something that, you know, I need help with or I want to reach out to Orbitus too, what is the best way to contact you?
Yeah, you can contact us on email on info@orbitus.ie. Or you'd get us in the Tralee office at 066-716-9033.
Fantastic. Well, it's been great to have you both in studio and thanks so much for coming in, Pat and Jennifer, and explaining it to us this evening.
Thanks so much for having us, Amber.
Thank you, Amber.